You answer me from where the thunder hides. I cannot run this heart I'm tethered to. With every step I collide with you. Like a tidal wave crashing over me, rushing in to meet me. Your love is fierce, like a hurricane that I can't escape, tearing through the atmosphere. Your love is fierce, cannot fail, the only thing I found. Never let me down. You don't hold back, relentless in pursuit. At every turn, I come face to face with you. When you have called me found, you chase me down, you seek me out. How could I be lost when you have called me found?
Sing, the first line says, a thousand times I've failed, but still your mercy remains. And that's not proclaiming we are a failure. That's just saying, as Ralph would say, we've missed the mark, a time or 10, but we are not failures. I am not a failure. And as we sing this, I am just grateful that we are being transformed, that we have that opportunity to grow, to change, to evolve, to not stay the same. And so anyway, sing this with us.
You know, just remind us that first of this year, every year we have a theme at Eagles Way Church, but this year we did not have a theme. We had a paradigm shift, and the paradigm shift was to focus on not our doing but our being. And if we'll become who we really are and know who we really are, then the doing aspect of it will have so much greater effects. And that's just what this intentional mind thinking is all about, that we know who we are in God, that we've been created in His likeness, in His image. And because of that, our being, out of our being flows everything that needs to happen and needs to be in our life. Amen. You may be seated. My privilege, a lot of people have introduced Ralph over the last several weeks, that people who has he has coached, people that have been close to him, but nobody has been as close to Ralph Martin as I've been close to Ralph Martin. And you have had the privilege maybe of him being your coach for a period of time. I've had 40 years of his friendship and him mentoring me, and hopefully I helped him a little bit along the way. But 40 years ago, we was in the denomination, same denomination, and my uncle was a presbyter, and he came up to me at the district council and brought Ralph up to me. He said, okay, this is Buren. Buren, this is Ralph. Buren, have Ralph come to your church and preach. Ralph, you go to his church and preach. Do y'all understand that? And we just, sure. But as I look back over that, I see how God really does direct our steps and brings the people into our lives that ought to be brought into our lives. And I thank God that 40 years ago that happened. And so I want to welcome one of the greatest individuals I know on the face of the earth, Dr. Ralph Martin.
I told Buren years ago we can't afford to hurt each other because we both know where all the bodies are at. Well, the Lord is good. Amen. Amen. How many have been here every night? Let me see your hand. All right. There's a prize waiting for you. 1,000 years after you get to heaven. Thank you so much for coming. Amen. It has been a joy. It really has been a joy. And I know we have this online. How many are watching this online? Okay, great. Well, okay, good. How many are going to watch it online? Well, we got two more. See, so that's a grand total of three. Amen. We're burning up the internet. Amen. And we want to say this. We will be taking up an offering next week. A love offering, and I certainly appreciate you giving. I tell people all the time, there's a difference in spending and investing. Anything time you spend, you're wasting. If you invest, you're expecting. And I tell all my clients, you're not paying me. You understand? You're not paying me. First of all, you can't pay me enough. But you're investing. You see something in me you're investing in. And that's what we want to do that online, is to invest in this, is to invest. Because whatever you invest in, you're expecting a return back on it. And that is what is so important. Not purpose of investing is to expect. How many wants a gold nugget? You can want one hand and expect the other, and the want will go dry, but the expect will always get. You'll always get what you expect. You will get very little in life what you pray for. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. But if you pray expecting, you will get it. You will receive it. And so we encourage you to, and I appreciate everything you do, and we certainly appreciate this. We're going to just shift gears a little bit tonight. We have T-shirts. Yeah, put that back up, Jason. I'm Thanksgiving, gratefulness, appreciation, and praise. Now, is that the inside or the outside?
It's the outside.
That's the outside. Thank you, David.
Ain't no inside on that
one. There's no inside of that one. Other day, Buren was telling Lisa, because Lisa had that other, what's the other T-shirt? Yeah, she had that, and I am. And she was so excited, and Buren said, well, have you looked on the inside? Inside? Yeah. When I put it on, what did you look on the inside? Look at it. So she went, oh, my God, there's writing in there. And it is Thanksgiving, appreciation, gratefulness, and praise. Why you put it on the inside? So it stayed close to your heart. Come on, you're slow, but you're worth waiting on, okay? That's what my mentor used to tell me all the time. Come on, Martin. Come on, Martin. Pick it up. You're slow, but you're worth waiting on. And so, again, we encourage you to get the shirt. And I have that. And if you don't, but I want to say this tonight, because I know tonight they're leaving tomorrow for Delaware. I am so thankful to God for two major people in my life, and that's Joey and Kitty. Amen. And Joey has Mojo Ministries. And I wore one of his shirts the other day here in Griffin, and I had to go to the drugstore and pick up something. And as I was standing at the counter, and on the back it has Mojo Ministries. That is Mojo, right? Ministry. So I felt this person come up behind me and grab me from the back. That brought back memories. Don't move. There's a gun. And I turned around, and it was this woman I have never seen in my life. And she was an elderly lady. I don't say old women no more, because when I was a little boy, men my age was old men. So she was an elderly lady, and she trying to turn me around and said, "Look here, Dorothy, look here. That's what we need right there." Yeah, Dorothy, look at it. That's what you need right there, mojo. You need to get your mojo going. So, and I so appreciate Joy, because he has a tremendous, same type of work I do. He is definitely a life coach. And his focus is mojo. Get your mojo running, just like Steppenwolf. Get your engine running. Come on, get the motors running. Get that mojo running and everything. And then that's his daughter-in-law, David's wife, who has Intent Yoga, has got her own shop. I am such a firm believer in yoga. And as I was here the first night, about a year ago, we were introducing Mary. And I was telling the Mary, when I first heard about yoga years ago, I thought they were saying yoga, like ice cream. Yeah, I like it too. I like yoga. I like that yoga too. Now, last week, I left here. I had to go home and take 4 Advils because I was so tired. You worked me hard last week. Dear God, you made me plow hard ground. Don't make me plow hard tonight. Amen. I think I don't even know if I got any more Advil or not. And I ain't got no money to go buy a bottle of it. So work with me tonight, okay? Even if you don't mean it, work with me, okay? Okay, so, amen. And Bobby Joe, you are excused. You've been saving lives all week. Amen? Amen. If you've ever been in Griffin in the Spalding County Emergency Room Hospital, you met Bobby Joe. Amen. She's a lifesaver. And it is good to be here. Now, David, what are they having in jail tonight? You try to tell me now.
Chip,
and Ken, who is from up north, explained to... really what chip beef is called in the South and in the prison system. If you don't know, wait and ask Ken after the service. Amen. So they got that in jail tonight. Amen. Well, good. All right, is everybody happy? Matter of fact, how many would rather be here than be in jail tonight and they got chip beef? Okay, I don't blame you. I want to talk about tonight one of the most, I think, important teachings that I really do in all my teachings, and that is the art of replacement thinking. And I title this what I know it is. It's an art. How many know art has got to be something you got to learn? The art of replacement thinking. Now, the problem with the art of replacement thinking is everybody thinks, I know how to replace the thought. Really? And we don't, because we don't even understand what a thought is. A thought is an energy pellet. That's why your Trinity is your tripod area. It's what makes you up, spirit, soul, and body. But your Trinity is thought, thinking, and talking. And that's what develops the inside of you. Now, most people think the positive zone, getting positive, is I got to change the way I'm talking. And that is a good, but that's the wrong end of the spectrum to start on. Because if you try to manage your talking, correct your talking, you're only introducing then learnt or managed behavior. And that can only last so long. By the first time someone flip you off at the red light, positive talking is going out the window right there then. By the time someone aggravates you, upsets you, gets you right, by the time someone forgets your birthday, especially someone you've been good to, like them children of yours. I talked to my daughter the other night and she said, I know you forgot it. I know what that means, birthday. So I'm saying, okay, your birthday's in January. Jacob's at it. So Ellie's birthday is September the 1st. I said, Tabitha, how many times have I told you and Jacob? How many times have I told you two kids and Joshua? You've got to give me a week notice when the kid's birthday is. I can't even remember yours. So if you don't let me know when their birthday is, guess what? Tab said, you're going to forget it? I said, bingo. Now, aren't you the shiny penny? You're right. It's not that I'm an old man and don't remember. I got other things on my mind trying to get you positive. Like anything with children's birthday. So give, folks. Give. Amen. But replacement thinking, it's an art. Now, your trend is thought, thinking, and talking. Let's show the first slide there, Jason. Now, I put this in a triangle because it is. It's a triangle. It's a thought, the Trinity. Now, our thoughts are energy pellets. The universe is full of them. According to most people that deal, doctors that deal with the nervous system, the mind, the brain, the neurologists and these people, they tell us that people that live in a civilized nation like America, England, Australia, have anywhere from 25 to 30,000 thoughts a day. And what we don't realize is that there are three consciousness. First conscience is the universal conscience. Or God conscience, the universe conscience. That is what we call divine intelligence that mapped out the universe. That's why we don't have planets running into each other. That's why it's hard to believe right now, at this time, at 5 to 7, September the 7th, that we're hurling through space at 15,000 miles per hour, rotating close to 400 miles per hour, and we don't even feel it. Because the divine intelligence mapped this out, charted this. That's the universal conscience, or God conscience. And the universal conscience, or God conscience, is always speaking, or instead of using the word speaking, is sending out vibrations and frequencies that your subconscious is picking up. That's where the 30,000 comes in at every day. Now, being in your subconscious, that's where all your motivational skills are at. For instance, I'm glad I know what that is, and I don't say, I forgot how to drink water. You know why I haven't forgot how to drink water? Because it's in my subconscious how to drink water. How to drink. That's why I tell you there's more to you than you see. Your subconscious, which is like an iceberg, 95% is below the surface. It's where your subjectivity lives. And your conscience, just bear with me here now. That's where your objectivity lives. That's where the thoughts. Oh, that's where the thinking originates from. Once a thought moves from the subconscious to the conscious, you become aware, and then you add thinking to it. And once you take on thinking, then it takes a life of its own. Because thinking won't stop until you start talking. And that's why your trinity is thought, thinking, and talking. Now, you have no control over the original thought. Everybody say no control. No control. And every thought you will ever have will be in one of the five W's. And that would be who, what, when, where, and why. Yeah, five. The five sisters, the five W sisters. Every thought, and you have 30,000 a day. And every one of them would be in the category of who, what, when, and where, and why. And your mind, which is your godness, has category all of the thoughts that you've had. 30,000 a day for 60 years, 70 years, however old you are. And it has put them in five categories. This is the acronym for that is FLASH. And the five categories of thought run through is fear, love, anger, sadness, or happiness. All of your thoughts will go through one of those five filters. And when it goes through that one of those five filters, you will pick up the energy or the emotion as it comes out. So you don't know what the thought is until it comes out of the conduit. And then it comes out of that, like we used to say down in South Georgia, all water tastes like the hose pipe. Whatever the water goes through, it picks up that flavor. That's when, once it becomes an emotion, once you have a feeling, you know which filter it went through, fear, love, anger, sadness, or happiness, and immediately it goes from feeling to talking. Now, so I want you to take pictures of this. If you need, I'll give you a copy of my notes here. You can take copies of these notes here. What you want to do is consciously build a catch basin between feeling and talking. And let me tell you how, that's why I nicknamed it FLASH. It's that quick. That's why you have to consciously do it, which means determined to do it. Because if you're not, you'll start talking your feelings. How many, not, of course, not you. But you know someone who has a cousin that would just let you know what's on their mind. They have no filter. They have no pause button. Oh, you ain't got to worry about what they think. They let you know what they think. Mad, anger, sadness. Well, that's just the way I am. And that is always is what creates your negativity, which will eventually lead to your implosion. So that excuse, I can't do nothing about it, I suggest you better learn, find, listen to me, and find a way to do something about it. Because not only are you your only God, you're your only devil. Just like there's not a God out there that somewhere can help you, but only in you. And the only devil that can bother you is the devil you create, because you are Elohim. And the devil gets his feed off, I'm going to show you that in a moment, from you. So, you have no control over the original thought. Now, I remember, as a matter of fact, I could hear Buren's daddy saying that. Reverend E.D. Goss used to say this. I may not can stop the birds from flying over my head, but by George, I can sure stop them from landing there and making a nest. Same thing. I may not control how I'm feeling, but I'm not going to let it settle there. I just got to say something. No, you don't. Hold it. I can't. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Job had to learn this the hard way. Job said, because how many know, and we love poor Job, oh, we want to be like Job. I suffer like Job. No, you don't. That's just a bunch of religious bull. If you went through what Job through, you would have a 357 in your mouth calling the police. Could you kill yourself? Joe went through total, completely destruction of everything he owned, lost it, all because of the way he thought. That's why he said, what I feared the most has come upon me. And Joe never knew. Again, look at the Bible as a book of metaphors. That the devil that was in Job's life was challenged to a debate by God. Job never knew what happened on him because God had been bragging on him. It was God who said, have you considered my servant Job? No, by the way, have you considered Ken? Have you considered Howard? Have you considered Elizabeth? And I've always looked at it. When it looked like all hell breaking loose on you, just remember, God must be bragging on you. Change the way you look at things. Things you look at will change. And Job said, oh my God, what I feared the most has come upon me. I brought all this stuff on me, is what Job is saying. And then Job has what we have. I'm not going to get bogged down in this. He had three real good close friends. Really four, but three of them was prime. We all have. Eliphaz, Bildad, and so far. The Bopsy twins. And each one had to explain to that buddy what they thought he was going through. You ever had that happen to you? And each one had a different theology and a different version of God. And literally, basically by chapter 33, they drove Job crazy. He literally became a madman. They drove him crazy. And Job did more than going crazy. Lost his mind. Job is now accusing God of being unfair. See, that's what negative do. If you let that stuff get out of hand, it's like a fire. Now, I know you don't know in Spalding County, but if you're from Tweed County, Blakely County, Wilson County, other county, you know what it is for a fire to get out of control real quick, burn off a field. And there's nothing no more helpless feeling than you just went out to burn the trash. And next thing you know, the field is burning up. And the man who rented your field has 600 bales of hay out there, and they are burning. And all you meant to do was burn the garbage and get away from me that quick. I speak from experience. So Job, finally, he's accusing God. And then one day God appeared to him. In a whirlwind, known in Spalding County as a tornado. Yes, God appeared in tornadoes. And you never seen a tornado sit down to do improvements. Regardless of that redneck joke that said the Alabama tornado came through Alabama and did $30 million worth of improvements. That's just a joke. But a hurricane, a tornado. And God spoke to him out of the tornado. See, that's when you will find, you will hear your inner voice at the most worst time in the world. Are you with me, Brother Michael? That's when you hear God. So the tornado ain't God, ain't the devil. It's what God's speaking. He spoke to him out of the tornado. And this is what he said to Job. Who is this that's darkened my counsel with words that don't know what they're saying? And Job said, I will take my hand, put over my mouth, and keep my mouth shut. Good move, Job. Finally built a pause button. Now you ain't crying, woe is me, look what's happening to me. After all, if you don't believe this ain't God tormenting me, you ask Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. They agree. So this is why replacement thinking is so important. Now, once you stop, now you got to recognize the feeling. You got, because every, when it comes through that conduit, it creates a feeling which is the forerunner of an emotion. That's how you to tell whether it's positive or negative, whether it's life or death, light or darkness. How does it make you feel? Well, that's where you stop it at, right there. Well, so-and-so, I just felt like they offended me. Have you told them? Well, no. Then tell them. Call them up. Dial them up and tell them. Don't talk it. Whatever you do, don't talk it. Be like Job. Shut, in a loving way, shut the trap. Oh, I just got to. Especially us church people. We're gonna word it in the way of a prayer request. Yeah, right. Well, I am. I want them to feel what I feel. You better pause it. And you better replace it. But you can only do it consciously. Now, you have no control over the original thought, but you have all the control over the replacement thought. Show the next slide. Jason. Is that? No, the one with the yellow on it, Jason. I'm sorry. I probably got it mixed up here. That one. You cannot buy preventive insurance for the purpose to prevent accidents. I'll get back to that in a few minutes. There are no preventive insurance policies. Thank God for Wanda Shaw. Wanda, if you listen, you're my hero. Been members of Blue Cross Blue Shield for 25 years. And for the last 8 years, up, until finally I was paying $1,500 a month for me and Francis. And you want to know the kicker? Francis ain't never been to the doctor. But we had to have it. Now, having it didn't stop us from getting sick. We needed it in case if we did get sick, we had it. I'm going to come back to that. Now, follow me. Stay with me now. Now, what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to take you by the hand, like I got Jason here by the hand. I'm going to walk you from the shallow end to the deep end. If I hear you gurgling, I'll back you up. I promise you, I ain't lost no one yet. They came close to losing them, but I'll wait on you. Because if I ever told the truth with emotions of hear me, oh Israel, our future's not what it used to be. You better start taking this stuff serious. Now, if you draw a line from the pause up to back up to the thought and put beside your line there replacement thinking, when you pause it there, now you replace it with a thought based on how you want to feel. And now I redid the conduits. I want to feel love. I want to feel joy. I want to feel peace. I want to feel kindness. I want to feel gentleness. Now that replacement thought, I send it back up and I expect it to go through that and I keep sending it back until I can feel it. And before you know it, show back the first slide again, Jason. That is replaced. Go back to the yellow one, is replaced with that. With that. But I have to consciously will it to go through there. And when I do, now the emotion comes out, feeling love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness. And now I go to action. Now I can go talking. Now I'm now creating my life. Now, if you let it slip through with the negative, with the anger, with the sadness, you're still going to create your life. Because you're Elohim. You're the creator. So you want to know how it feels. And that's what you learn. That is what I tell clients like Lisa back here and other clients of mine. This is your vibrational energy. You learn to read your vibrations. Your vibration determines your frequency. Your frequency determines what spiritually and energetically you're putting out. Okay? Very important we know this. Now, how do you want to feel? Well, I want to feel love, but I don't think like they love me. They may not. But if you show love, somebody going to love you back. But I want them to love me. See, that's that. They may not love you. And that's okay. Because if you love, somebody going to love you if it's made up 3-1. Because God always overwhelms you. That's why when Francis and I started this journey 7 years ago, we played and it started out being a little game with each other, but it turned into seriousness with each other. And that is replacement thinking. If Frances heard me say anything, and she did, and still on alert, if I said anything negative, She was saying, whoa, negative. Now replace that with three positives. And according to the rule we both set up, and would hurt too, we couldn't question each other. Oh, I didn't mean that to be negative. Don't matter whether you meant not. I received it as negative. Replace it with three positives. And we did. Now we've got a new game we play. And that is, judge my frequency. So we started this game 4 months ago. We were decided to start that game, be a good night at Cracker Barrel. On a Friday night. When everybody in Henry County tried to get there by 5 o'clock. But like I told Francis, don't worry, we're going to be about 5:30 before we get there anyway. And they sitting on the porch, they sitting everywhere. Everywhere they sitting. Now how many know, no matter wherever you want to go eat on Friday night or Saturday night in Henry County, you ain't the one with the original idea. So I look at Francis, and this is a joke. I say, you know what? This proves it. Everybody want to be like me. They think the same thing I think. Well, it helps along a little bit. So finally, we waited, Miss Penny, 30 minutes. 30 minutes. Which ain't bad at Cracker Barrel on a Friday night. So, and I love the lady. 2 for dinner. I said, ma'am, I'd like to have breakfast menu, if you don't mind. Tell me how nice I am, if you don't mind. What would you do if she'd mind? Well, I'll take dinner. If you don't mind, I'll take the breakfast. Okay. So she got, I thought, 2 menus. Took us and set us down at one of them little tables that I normally don't like at. Is only that wide. I'm that wide, as you can tell. So my right leg is exposed to the aisle here. So she set us down. I open my menu, and it's a dinner menu. And I said to Francis, I'd be darned. If that woman didn't give me a dinner menu. Well, first of all, Francis, did I tell her breakfast menu? She said, you did. Okay. Now, where's she at? Where'd she go? Oh, ma'am. So I get up. Francis, be nice. She takes this stuff more serious than I do. I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. I'd ask you for a breakfast menu and you gave me a dinner menu. She said, did I? I said, yes, ma'am. I'm so sorry, sugar. I said, don't worry about it. No, I'm cool. Don't worry about it. I'll go get you one. Thank you, ma'am. So she gone. I go back. I said, she's going to bring me one. She come in, set it down and walk back off. I opened up. It's another dinner menu. I said, I be dipped. If that woman didn't bring me another dinner menu. Frank said, okay, I've got to throw a red flag on that. You're getting aggravated. Yeah, you caught me there, Clyde, you caught me. Calm it down. Reel it in. Stop it. Replace it now with a positive energy. Okay. See, it's all how serious you want to take this thing. See, me and Francis take this thing serious. I take this positive living serious because I've seen it transform my life, her life, our friend, and some of your lives. I don't play with this stuff. It's live wire. And what she said, because if you don't bring it in now, aggravation is going to attract what, Ralph? More aggravation. See, that's the frequencies. Everything will attract after its own kind. Well, I just can't help it. I told her twice to bring me a breakfast menu. It's just a meal. Bring it back to reality. So I went over to her. I said, ma'am. Yes. I said, ma'am, bless you. I said, and I said this. And I said it with a good frequency. I said, bless your heart. Guess what you brought me back again? Did I bring you back a dinner menu? I said, yes, you did. Oh, honey. I said, no, you're fine. I said, let me ask you something. Because I always turn to make jokes. I said, you got any new pictures in it? Or is it the same old pictures? I don't know if it's... I said, well, no, that's okay. Just bring me on Uncle Herschel's breakfast with pancakes. Are you sure? I don't mind. No. So I come back. I said, got it. She said, okay, be sure to leave that woman a great tip. See, it ain't no sense trying to be something if you don't show them. See, I'm at a place right now that I'm on a road to become that whatever my ticket is and anything I do, my tip is equal, if not greater, than the meal. I don't know, just a little quirk of mine that I want to be positive. I want to be positive. So that replacement thinking is so important. But if you don't replace it, when it comes out of them tubes, it's going to spring the aroma, the emotion, the feeling, and before you know it, you're talking it. And once you move into talking mode, you moved into creation mode. And everything attracts after its own kind. Aggravation attracts aggravation. Like I tell clients, dog do what? Bark. Cats do what? Meow. Cheaters do what? Cheat. Liars do what? Lie. Aggravation does what? Bring more aggravation. How many wants a gold nugget? Whenever you get aggravated and upset, the only thing going to come to your aid is more devils dressed in religious garments. Thank you for your enthusiasm. When you get aggravated and upset, it brings more. Well, I want to get this stuff off of me. Then stop sending out the signals. Stop sending out the frequencies. You are a transmitter and a receiver. Well, I want to listen to country. Well, get off rock and roll. Well, I want to listen to rock and roll. Then get off talk radio. Whatever you want to receive, put out the frequency signals for that, and you will attract it. Well, I want people to love me. Well, start loving people. I would if they let me. They ain't got to let you. You just do it. You find somebody to love. Find somebody to be nice to. Find somebody to be kind to. And it'll come back to you, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall other men give to you. Okay, I can't, I'm running to. This is too tempting to run rabbits tonight. Because I'm plowing with or without your help tonight. Because I've been living this now for 5 days. Go to the next slide there, Jason. Jason, my man. Now to every scripture. First of all, I want to say it again. The Bible is a book of metaphors. Well, it ain't to me. It doesn't matter what it is to you. It's what it is to me the only thing that matters. If you want to think it's a writing of Shakespeare, it's yours. What does it say to you? See, to me, the Bible is a book of metaphors. It's not a history book. It's a book of principles. And when I found this out, Miss Penny, it helped me a whole lot. That my Bible, or how I interpret it, is always written in subject matter. Ooh. Even the Old Testament is written in subject matter. Find what's the subject. Are you ready for this? Every subject has a directive and a declarative. Now, you can't read the Bible. Oh, I say you can. You can if you want to. People died so you could. I don't read it like newspaper. I don't read it like a book. I took literally what Paul said, studied it. And I studied in subject matters. Little thing they taught us in Twigs. Studied in subject matter. And then with every subject matter, Ms. Lynn, it comes with a directive and a declarative. You find the directive which would point you go that way. And then at the end of the directive, you will find a declarative. You do that and you'll get it. every single time. It is a book of magic, Jessica. You find the subject matter. So I pick one for you. I'm a good teacher. So I pick Philippians 4:8 that everybody knows. So when Paul wrote, said, finally, brethren, then he gives a directives. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, that's a directive. You find that, then you will see the declarative. The next verse is the declarative. And it says, now think on these things until these thoughts become your habitual thought pattern. So the directive is telling you what to think upon, and the declarative said, and if you do, once it become your pattern, think on these things, you then will get the reward, whatever the reward said you would get. Now, folks, everybody look at me. If people from Tweeds can get this, my God, what could Spalding County folks get? Because what's your school here? 4A? Quad A? Is that it, Bjorn?
I think so.
Quad A? You know what Twigs is? 5C. I don't even know they even have C schools anymore. We were so low, Brother Billy, we couldn't even have a basketball team or a baseball team. Oh, we could play each other, but we couldn't go to other schools because school didn't have the money. So if we can get it, if I can get it, dear God, what could a full quad graduate get? And the reason you don't is because you don't take it serious. There's a directive and a declarative. You find the direct, and it's only at the beginning and the end of subject matters. Well, not me, brother. I try to read 3 chapters a night. And how far is that getting you, Clyde? Do you know God don't give out awards based on how much you read? Only Hollywood would do that. Well, Lord, I read 3 chapters a night. I read that Bible through 4 times. Really? And not all you got out of it? Do you know that's an indictment against you, not for you? I'd rather read 1 subject matter and know what the directive and the declarative is and get that than to say I read 18 chapters and don't even know what I read on who begot who. Are you with me? Next thing, Jason. Now, Jason, do I have that scripture about that again? About Timothy? Oh, I go into it. Okay, hit me. Buren got a copy of my notes too. Okay, there it is. Now, I want to take a few minutes tonight, and I want to get in your psyche. I want to get between your ears tonight and tap dance. I want to provoke you to think, because it's that important. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:16, he said, lay up in store for yourselves, or themselves, a good foundation against the time. Everybody say against the time. That you may lay hold on it. Now, you're going to have adventures in your life, experience in your life that's going to fulfill that read against the time. And if you ain't got nothing laid up, you ain't got nothing to hold on to. Now listen to me now. What have you laid up? Now if people would take their spiritual life like people take their financial life. See, that's where the deception at. Oh, we lay up 401ks. we lay up retirements. Buy gold. That's what we need to do. Buy gold. Buy silver. Lay it up. You don't need it. See, everything about us is geared against that day that we can have something to lay hold on, like insurance. You buy health insurance not because you want to get sick, but against that day you do get sick. You buy car insurance not because you're expecting a wreck. You buy car insurance in case of someone, not you, someone hits you and the state patrol come and says, give me your license and your insurance card. And you say, officer, my plans are now that I've had a wreck, the first thing in the morning when Farm Bureau open, I'm going to be the first one at the door and get that car insurance. I'm sorry, you're day too late. I mean, I intend to get it. Now, here's the question. What are you laying up? Negative positives? What are you laying up? Because just as sure as a cow in Texas, you're going to have against old time. Now, Ron, there is, help me out, Ron, 365 days a year, thereabout. Okay. Of the 365 days a year, Joe, even Joey, I have, work with me, Joseph. I'm going to say out of 365 days a year that Ralph Martin experienced sunrise and sunset, Evan, all of them, 350 of them is great days. But 15 of them is against that time. It ain't sunshine in that day. It's cloudy. It's thundering. People trying to rain on my parade. People throwing rocks in my water. See, when you understand that you're anywhere from 78 to 82% water, then you understand how your waters can get disturbed. Because every living cell, trillions of them in your body is all made up of water. And all it takes is someone around you with rocks. Get you all upset. Get you the gibbers. And next thing you know, them thoughts is going through, that angry and that mad. I can't believe they did this to me. I can't believe they did this to me. But see, if you ain't got nothing laid up. Now, as I told a client, and I teach my clients this, there's a difference in confirmation and affirmations. Confirmation is what you look for the people to give you. But other people cannot give you confirmations. Other people cannot give you affirmations. They can only give you confirmations. Confirmations don't help you against that day. The only thing going to help you in that day is affirmations. Affirmation is what you telling yourself. Like David. David made a bad mistake. David made a bad boo-boo. And all his trusted men, I'm talking about buddies like me and Bjorn, been on each other 40-something years. Picked up stones to throw at him. Now ain't the time for David to ask Joab and the boys, what y'all think of me? Because what they think of him is because of your stupidity, we've lost our family. So one of those days is going to be blame day, and guess who's going to be blamed? You. Against that day. What have you got laid up? Now you hear me. The only way you can lay something up is going to be based on how you write things down that you know. Do what? Listen to me. I'm telling you what I've worked out. As I was telling Buren this morning. Never doubt in darkness what spirit shows you in light. And the only thing that will cause you not to forget what was shown to you in light is if you don't write it down. Though it's rhema, but if you don't write it down, it don't become living. You missed it. Dear God, you should be swinging from chandeliers right now. You should be writing your own Bible. One of my clients, many of my clients here tonight, and most every one of them, I said, listen, take this as an example. Read this. And you know what the headlines is? Ralph's personal Bible. That's what I write. Well, I don't need to write my Bible. I got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, you don't know where they're at. And how good is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John going to do if you don't remember them? And if you don't write them down, you won't remember them. Now, I have a client here. This woman has been seeing me now for 14, 15 months. Not only sober, but in her right mind. We help get her off on a dependent upon alcohol for 17 years. It was her escape from reality until it became a habit, an excuse, and then her life. She'd been to several rehab centers. But Brother Rice, you shouldn't be saying that. No, I asked her, is it okay if I use it? She said, use my name if you want to. I know I'm not going to use your name. But you're in my heart. Just had her 14, 15 month sobriety. All because of replacement thinking. So I got her on this little exercise I did, Mike. And that is, start writing down 10 times a day, I am. I am sober, I am. I am clean, I am. See, I am is the name of God. Moses said, God, who I got? Pharaoh's going to know who sent me. If I'm going to go to Pharaoh and said, God said, let my people go, I better know your name. So what's your name? And I can't tell him God, because if I tell him God, because God ain't a name, God is a title, he's going to say, which one? We have hundreds of them. So I'm going to need a name. Okay, you just tell him, my name is I am that I am. Now, I find it interesting. Even no boy from Twitch can get this. Why would you put an adverb between two adjectives? Why would you put that between two I ams? I am that. What's that? That is what you fill in. I am. So I had her writing it, a manual, journal. One of my clients here, Miss Lynn. I call her Lynn Pearl. Bjorn said, you do know Pearl's her maiden name, don't you? I just call her Miss Lynn Pearl. I love her. Lynn. Woman been seeing me now for 2-3 months. Every time she comes see me, she don't bring her Bible. She brings the Bible she's writing. She brings her spiral notebook. I said, Lynn, write this down. And she's always writing down. And it's changing her life inside out. Only if you write it. Jessica, don't stop writing. Don't stop writing. Write it down. That's what the angel told John. Oh, I'm making me. He's preaching. I don't want to preach. Take what you see, John, and write it in a book. Right. Write the vision. For in the end, it will speak and not lie. In the evangelical world, there's going to be a great judgment of God, and we're all going to be there, and the book of life is going to be there. But if you read that carefully, it says not only the book of life is going to be there, but other little books. What do you think those other little books are? Your version. Your testimony. What you write. You're having miracles. Write them. That's laying up in store for yourself against that day that you're going to wake up one day not feeling good. And the pain going to hit you. Oh, I wonder what that is. You got something you lay back on because you wrote it. So after being sober for about a month and a half, the day came when she had to go to the grocery store without people going with her and just watch and see if she's drinking. Trust but verify. First time to the grocery store. By herself. She went and had to pick up a few items. And I'm going to quote her. She said, she called me Dr. Martin. Dr. Martin, I'd be damned if they didn't move that Corona display on the aisle I was on. On the very aisle I was on. And she said, and she cried. She said, Dr. Martin, I'm telling you, I heard that thing call my name. Psst. Psst. Hey, look here. Look at me. Do you know? Buy me. Come on, get me. Come on. We're old friends. Buy me. What was that happening at in her imagination? In her imagination, which was determining her reality. She said, it scared me so bad, I thought I was losing my mind because there's animated little cartoon characters. Hey, get me. Get me. You can have me drunk up before you even get home. Nobody would know it. Come on, buy me. She said, "What I, the only thing I could say was, I am not. I'm strong. I'm Christ. I'm God. I am not going to do it." And she got out of the store. See, that was against that day she could lay hold on it. She laid it up. What she has written. It is written. Who wrote it? She did. See, most Christians, well, I'm just going to call on God to come help me. And you're going to be left stranded alone there too, Junior. It's just like a bank. If you ain't made no deposit, you call on God all you want to. You ain't going to draw nothing from it. How can you lay up something if you don't lay it, consciously lay it up? I am. Show the next thing, Jason. You're making me run rabbits here. This is the temptation of Christ. This is the three thens of temptation. And this is found in Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 12. Then Jesus, full of enlightened spirit of light, returned from the Jordan River. Jesus was inward led by spirit, thought. He was led by spirit, thought into the wilderness. Come here, Randy. Spirit didn't take him and say, come here, Randy. That's all right. I got you. Come on, let's go to the wilderness. Took him there, thought. Spirit took him by thought and took him to a wilderness. Now, Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus spent 40 days. You get to choose which one, 40 days or the 40-year excursion fair. It's up to you. Now, where he was tempted by the devil. Say, there you go, Randy. Thank you, Randy. See, I had you Jesus there. See, and I thought, take me. Now he was tempted by the devil. How about look at me, blow me a kiss. One of the greatest things you could do is go ahead and define and identify who and what is your devil. Well, he's Satan. He's Diablo. He's you know what? Let me tell you. You know what my devil is? I can tell you exactly what my devil is. Negative thinking. Jesus was to be tempted by his negativity for 40 days. You see, we've been bamboozled. Oh, the devil, he's real. Only if you create him. Last time I was in London, 6 years ago, teaching the positive zone in London. And they were eating it up. And I'm from South Georgia. Again, twigs. And they getting it, they eating it up, except for the leaders. Oh, not the Pharisee leaders. It upset them. So I didn't know. So the last night of the conference, they were going to have a dinner in my honor. As a matter of fact, one of them said it's going to be a roast, Dr. Martin. A roast for me. Yeah, Ralph, and you're going to be the pig. And we're going to put the apple in your mouth. And I noticed there was a lot of people I didn't recognize at the roast. Honored guests that didn't come to the meeting. And so they turned it over to a lady. And she got up and she said, Dr. Martin, I want you to know, it's such an honor. We're so privileged to have you here. Oh, and though a little joke, though it took us two or three times to understand what you're saying, but we got the gist of what you were saying, and we I want to ask you something, if I may. Sure. You said, and I'm thinking, when were you here to hear me say that? You said that you don't believe in the devil. Dr. Martin, would you mind further explaining that? What do you mean you don't believe in the devil? On you then, this is the roast and I'm the pig. They brought out big guns to see me, to talk to me. And they start off, how clever they are, how smart they are. What a woman. And I said, well, now I know you're not supposed to answer a question with a question, but I want to make sure because due to our language difference, let me turn that back on you. I want to make sure that I'm hearing the right question. The question is, do I believe in the devil? Is that the question? Yes, precisely. Do you believe in the devil? Well, if that's the question, do I believe in the devil? No, I do not. Oh, you don't? No. Would you mind further explaining that? No, there needs no more further explanation. The question explains it. You ask me, do I believe in the devil? No, I believe in God. Mm-hmm. Oh. So you're saying there's no devil? I didn't say that. You said that. I didn't say that. But you said you don't believe in the devil. I don't. I believe in God. I'm not getting off of that. I don't believe in the devil. You don't believe he exists? Not in my world. So you're saying there's not a devil? I'm not saying that. Well, how can you say there's not a devil and you don't believe in him operating in your world? Because I never created one. You see, you're Elohim. You're the creator. You create all the devils you want. You can create a devil that will rob, make your children sick, give you the flu, cause you lose your job, burn your house, lose your job. You can just make him as bad as you want. So you're saying there's no evil? I didn't say there's no evil. That wasn't the question. The question was, do I believe in him? No, I believe in God. But you have to admit there's evil if you want it. You got to admit there's evil in your life. Not in my life, it's not. Why? Because we believe in God. No, listen to me. I believe in God. You can have all the devils you want. See, that's what religion does. And Jesus was tempted, took up to the wilderness by the devil. What does that mean? Now, there's three ways the devil could get Jesus on the mountain. Number one, slap him upside his head and drag him up there, which I just can't picture Jesus being a punching bag for the devil. Number two, the devil telling Jesus, let me show you something. Come on, follow me. And Jesus took his tail between his legs and followed him up there like a whipped puppy. I don't believe that happened. So the only way in my world the devil could have took him up there is in thought. Imagination. And he took him there. How many times? So what is your devil? What is your devil? See, most folk don't know. Well, see, if you don't know what your devil is, then he may always hang, you don't know it. See, Paul knew what his devil was. For Paul said, I'm not ignorant of the devices of Satan, lest he get the advantage over me. And interesting, that word device simply means inward roads. I'm not ignorant of the inward roads of the evil one. At least he get the advantage over me. What's your devil? Mine's negative thinking. Mine's sitting there getting upset with that woman, poor woman trying to make a living at that Cracker Barrel. Bringing me a dinner menu after I done told her three times. Stupid. Oh, people, I just can't stand people's stupidity. That's my devil. And he's trying to capture my imagination. Thank God for friends. She's whoop, 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 wrong frequency. If we listen to rock and roll, get rid of the country. Change frequencies. Well, Brother Martin, I just don't believe in living. I just trust God. Yeah, and look at where you're living too. Look at what you're experiencing too. You are your creator. So here's Satan, took him up on a mountain. First one then. And then the negative thought made a suggestion to Jesus' conscience through his thought. If you are the Son of God. Find that interesting. The first temptation in his mind was, if you are the Son of God. Well, if you're a Christian. How many has ever heard that thought? Oh, and you claim you're a Christian. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You talk like that and you claim you're a Christian. And that's the first, if you are the Son of God. Why don't you change these stones of loaf of bread to satisfy your need and want and hunger? See, the temptation was for Jesus to use his own imagination to turn the stone into bread. After all, it looks like it. And I love this. Notice, the first and foremost temptation was this negative thought. Is to get you to question your true identity. Are you really? Oh, Brother Ralph claimed he's really God. So you're really God, huh? Yeah. In my world, yeah. Not in Francis' world. And not in your world. But I am my world. To question your own authenticity. But Jesus told himself, I put that in red. See, Jesus laid up for himself a good foundation because that they could lay hold on it. That ain't the first time Jesus told himself that. No, the scripture says, people do not live by bread alone, but people do live by what they tell themselves. How did he know that? Because the man been telling himself that for 30 years. Probably wrote it 100 times. What are you laying up? How do you know what you are, what you claim you be, until it's tested? And if you ain't laid it up, just like my friend, she'd been writing for months, I am, I am, I am. And you can ask her after service, knowing her, she comes out, that's me. She'd tell you the 10 moved into 100 times a day. Moved into a composition book. She's still writing it, I am. I am what? Whatever she wants to be, I am. I am, I am, I am. Lay up in store for yourself a good foundation against that day. You lay hold on it. Gold nugget. What you laid up for yourself against that day will be what you go to when push comes to shove. Write it out, Elizabeth, and keep writing. Journal your way into a positive life. Journal your way into the kind of life you want. Because when it comes to push and shove against that day, that's what you're going to go to. Jessica, journal it. Jennifer, keep journaling, my friend. Journal it. Write it out. No one will be able to confirm for your satisfaction who you are. This is what you must affirm within your own self. What people confirm to you will not lay up very long if you do not affirm it is so. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Buren God can tell me all day long, Ralph, you're a God. Ralph, you're a God. Ralph, you're a mighty man of God. Ralph, you're a mighty man of God. Ralph, use who in the zoo, buddy, you got it. And the first time I get tempted, I forgot what did Buren say to me. Because that ain't what's going to last. What's going to last is what I tell myself. That's why I got to affirm what I am. Next slide. Very quickly. Another then. There's three of them. Then another negative thought carried Jesus up within his imagination and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And then it said to Jesus, you do know this is mine. And I can give it to who I will. Temptation just went up. Now I may know this temptation is offering to Jesus what he came here to do. This is just a shortcut version. you laying up store for yourself? I'm going to brag on because I'm so proud of Ken. Ken and Margaret. I tell Margaret all the time, girl, you down to that high school 1971 cheerleading style there, girl. You're down to that weight. Proud of you. They didn't get that way from taking extrons or diabetic pills or diet pills. He got that way because he determined, I'm going to lose it. I got a plan. I'm going to stick to it. And he worked it, and it worked out. He won't lose it because he worked it out. Just like I worked out my positiveness. You want to know what Ken's devil is? He'll tell you. Probably a whole bunch of glutens. But if he don't settle it in his mind and reaffirm what is in his mind, just like my friend had to put her I ams. I am sober. I am sober. I am sober. I am clean. I am not going to buy you. Her imagination, same thing, took her there. And that display started dancing and said, buy me, buy me, buy me, buy me. See, that's why you got to take this stuff serious. You got to understand, if you have an enemy, he takes it serious. I guarantee you, negative takes it serious. You can have all this, just go in the shortcut. Nope. Nope. I tried, like many of you have. I tell people as a joke, but it really wasn't a joke, it was really truth. Well, Pastor Martin, like you lost weight. I have. I've lost 832 pounds in the last 25 years. And gained 826 of it back. So I finally gave up the word diet. And Francis said, have you thought about getting this thing on your arm called a Fitbit? And she started joking. She said, a Fitbitch? No? Well, I'm going to buy you one. All right. She bought me one. April the 10th. Do you know, as of last week report, as of April the 10th this year, Miss Penny, I have walked 885 miles. 11,153 steps make 5 miles. I don't even think about that no more. I'm walking. Dr. Ken, David will be coming to you soon. My blood's leveling out. Because I'm laying up in store for myself a good foundation called walking. I play a lot of that old Fats Domino song. I'm walking. Yes, indeed, I'm walking. You got to define your enemy. What is your enemy? Well, I don't study him. Well, he's studying you. Next one, son. We're closing. Then the devil, negative thought, took Jesus to Jerusalem, took him to church. Oh, yeah. Took him to church. High church. Took him to the mother city. Within Jesus' imagination is where he took him. To the highest point of the temple. Took him to the Holy of Holies. Took him to Mr. Pentecostal meeting itself. And then said again, if you are the Son of God. Again, that identity thing. Oh, you claim you're God, right? Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, he got. I'll prove you. No. Jesus never tried to prove to Satan he was. He never tried to convince him. He was busy convincing himself he was. Oh, you missed that. You know why? He didn't try to convince him? Because he never did nobody to confirm him. Because he was always affirming himself. Then Jesus had laid up for himself against that day his responses. So here Jesus responded back to the negatives with his positives. The scripture also said, you must not test the Lord your God. Oh, that was a stinger. Oh, say, not only do I claim I am God, I'm your God. You know how many times I remind negative thinking? Oh, wait a minute, boy, let me tell you something. I'm your God. My positive trumps your negative. I override you. How can I do it? Because I got it laid up, Lynn. How? Hundreds of times. People have been in my office at my house. I can show you composition books. I still have about 15 or 20 of them that I have written hundreds of times a day. I am beautiful. I am smart. I am intelligent. I'm not trying to convince you I am. I'm convincing myself I am. So that when the enemy comes in negative thinking, said, oh, who do you think you are? Well, let me just read you who I am. Now look at verse 14 and we're going to close. When negative thinking had finished tempting Jesus, the negative thoughts left him until the next opportunity arose. Until the next opportunity arose. You got to stay on top of it. Ask Joey what will happen if he quit, started weighing down on Mojo Ministries. How long his mojo stay mojoing? How often did he have to jumpstart his mojo? Every single day. Every day. How often you tell yourself you're positive, Ralph? A hundred, tens, hundreds, thousands of times. I am. I am. I am. Because I'm always laying up. Because I've got sense enough to know, Susan, there are days that are against that day. I got a client of mine. She identified her negative. She identified her devil. And you know what her devil is? She don't mind. She said, I don't mind. It's called rabbit. Whenever she gets frustrated and aggravated, rabbit jumps up and want to run. I want to run. I want to leave you. I want to leave the house. I want to leave everything. Just leave. And the only thing keep me from leaving is I laid up. I can't. I'm the mother. I can't. That doesn't help the thing. That makes matters worse. See, when it comes to shove, what is going to hold you? Only what you laid up. You get anything out of this tonight? Yeah. All right. God bless you. Let's all stand. Now, Buren and I, we're working together. Probably in October, I want to personally start an individual school where I handpick only the serious ones. And David, we're going to use this name, Intentional Mind, but instead of A Journey to Positive Thinking, I want to rename it A Journey to Positive Living. I want to move thinking up to living. Handpicked. Handpicked. After all, Jesus picked his disciples, so let me pick mine. Who do you think you are, God? Bingo. But I can't say that about me. Well, you better start saying it about you. Because if you don't, you're going to agree with whatever your enemy is. That's why Paul said, I'm not ignorant of his inroads. Every great general, from Napoleon to Robert E. Lee, as they say in the South, God rest his soul, studied their enemy. Oh, Norman, that led the troops in Iraq, he studied his enemy. George Patton did more studying of his enemy, studied Rommel. That's a wise man, knows his enemy. Because a wise general knows the enemy is always looking to flank him. And what does it mean to flank him? It means to find areas he's not watching and come on his side and get him. I don't care how anointing Brother Buren is. I don't care if they give him the title Bishop Glow in the Dark. If he don't lay up in store for himself. A great foundation. The wear and tear of a pastor will wear him down. And people's problems will wear him down. You talk like you've been a pastor 38 years. I don't do that no more. Bless his holy name. And I don't counsel people no more. I coach them. I had a lady ask one day, what's the difference between counseling and coaching? I said, simple. Counseling is you got to sit there and listen to people's crap. Coaching is you show them how to sidestep it. How to get it off the shoe. Quit stepping in it. You're above it. Don't try to walk through it. Go over it. Don't let it offend you. Take it serious, people. Take it serious. Now, go online. Come prepare next week to give. To invest. Hug everybody's neck. Brother Terry, we're going to dance for next week. Every week I tell Terry, I brought my dancing shoes. Let's dance. We're going to dance. There's a scripture I want to give you found in the book of Psalms. David said, for I learned to dance before God with broken bones. Going to make me prophesy, and I don't want to do that no more. I got broken bones. Learn to dance with broken bones. Because you're dancing to the Lord. You're not dancing to anything else but to the Lord. Because when it comes to push and shove, only what you laid up can you lay hold on. Now, hug everybody's neck. Twice and two other people twice. So that's four neck hugs. You should get and give someone before you get out of here tonight. Amen? All right. God bless you. It's 4 minutes after eight. If 4 minutes messed up your night, I apologize, okay? All right. Hug everybody's neck.